Let us move forward in our dissertation. Take out your documents, and for those of our visitors and others that don't have them, amen, should at least have an excerpt. We're going to begin on page 24 today. Amen. For those that are watching by way of our webcast, repeat after me: scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scripture
comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's go to page 24. In conjunction with that, we're going to go a couple of places this morning. I'm going to go into the kingdom gospel. I want to straighten out something. Amen. That they said that our Lord said that he didn't say. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, I think 18 and 19. Also, we're in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Now, we have been ministering from this document as it relates to the matrix. You hear that a lot. You hear even businesses name the matrix. And so the question is, what is the matrix? Basically, when we look at what we call life, that which is displayed physically before our eyes each day and the things that we see, it has been impressed in our minds and spirits that this is the reality of things as they are currently flowing. The scriptures do not validate that. Basically, what we call life is similar to, you go to the movies, the theater, and they put in the projector and it begins to move around, and what we call moving pictures are really, in fact, that's where they got it, that term from, moving pictures. Each has a frame, and the light is moving through that frame. Everything in that frame is a still. Yeah. Each instance of whatever is happening, whatever action, there is a still. And the light is moving through the stills, and it's moving through so fast, and it looks like they're all together, basically portraying actions. But each frame is a still. Now, someone, and I'm just using this as an analogy, has put together some idea or some form in designing the activities that are in that frame. Either in the story of a document, a documentary or as a story. And so every time you're sitting down watching TV, I want you to think about that all they're doing is they're moving through frames. And that's basically what life is, as we have gone through in some of our prior teachings. And for those that are on watching by webcam, if you go to www.gracegospelministry.com.org and you will see either the audio or the video sector there. There's an icon. If you click on that, this entire document comes up some 60 pages. We're on page 24 today. But as you sit there, understand that it's just a matter of light moving through frames. Everything that you see. But that's even the essence of what life is, as we have looked into some of the other verses, particularly I'm just going to mention one in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It tells us that everything is designed, just like what goes into this frame, everything that is designed, amen, according to creation is traced to a saying of God, which means that in eternity, God designed all the actions that go into the frame. Amen. And so what we're looking at, and we call life, we're looking at basically, and we said this is what life is. There is just a matter of each of these nano frames. There may be trillions of them, okay? And each one of them has some portion of some action in that frame that was designed by the one who... Y'all don't hear me this morning. Just like in the movie picture. And so what we count as life, or what we think is life, is basically the result of the light shining through these frames. Now when we look at basically 1 Timothy chapter 6, do not go to that, amen, we've been through that before, chapter 6 verses 14 through 16, it tells us that God is the source of light. And what we see is that He has projected into the universe that He has created these frames in order to convey to us the actions that are not basically in the frame, but the actions are in the same. Amen. A thing comes into existence through God having spoken it. And that's the only place it exists, and it is in eternity rather than in time in the frames. And so our conscience, which is the light, is moving through the frames. And of course, as we are born, we become cognizant of things around us, our conscience is awakened. And so everything concerning you from the time maybe you were 2 years old that you can recollect, things basically that your mind has experienced as light moving through these steels of frames. And so this is what the matrix is. It is a representation that is comprised of grids within a strata which these frames are laid out in it. Somebody said, Pastor, why are you going through this? You know why? What we're trying to do is to get us out of the mindset that as things are unfolding before our eyes, this is something new, and this is something that hasn't been there, and this is something that is unbridled and undesigned, and we must know that everything touching life is designed. God is not only the creator, He is the designer, He is the planner. Amen. Now here's the part we don't understand. Because many things that I experience, amen, things that I would rather not. Amen. We said, God couldn't possibly be the author of that. In the Old Testament, He says, your ways are what?
Not my way.
And my thoughts are what?
Not
your thoughts. And so everything that God does is for purpose. As Job brought out at the end, and when his brothers finally confronted him, but they thought he was going to confront them. Amen. After they had sold him into slavery, we know that a story and all the stuff that Joseph went through, basically. At the end, he said, now you designed this. Your design was for evil. But God's design, God, you put it, you, as you move through the frame, amen, you thought you were doing something, amen, in relationship to harming me. And here, God had put it in the frames to bless you. Amen. And this is how blessings, amen, become the result of what we think curses. The same thing with Job, what he went through. Amen. And as we look into the Old Testament, and we see many things that are going on. Now, so the matrix is the grid that is set up, which we look upon and we call life. Now, here's what we need for us to have confidence in God. It's to know that everything that's in each one of those frames, God put it there for a purpose. For purpose. For His purpose. Let me clarify that. We seem to think somehow that mindset has been impressed upon us that we sort of like in the center of the world and everything revolves around us. And we can put God on the peripheral as an accommodator. Mm-hmm. That He's basically feeding things into us mm-hmm. according to how much we please Him. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get it, it's because we didn't please God. Mm-hmm. So it's all up to us. So here, we are acting and God is reacting. So now who's in control? The actor or the reactor? Well, no, we got this thing completely backwards. What's in the frame, listen to me, is strictly the manifestation of the light having been, of the light rather penetrating through these frames, and every action in every frame, God put it there for a purpose. So your life is pre-planned and pre-purposed by God. Now, if you don't understand that you're going through life and it causes you to feel like you're out here on your own, that's an eerie feeling. If you're out here on your own, you are on a tiny planet that hardly shows up in a very tiny solar system. And that solar system doesn't hardly show up because it's not one of the biggest stars in the galaxy, the Milky Way. And then of the billions of stars that are in the galaxy, the Milky Way itself is one of billions of galaxies in the universe. So if you're out here by yourself, you're way out there. But I'm telling you, amen, you belong to God. You always have belonged to God from eternity. Amen. He knew you. David said, even in the Old Testament, He knew me before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly. So you seem so far, but yet you're so near. Because you're in Christ. Oh, somebody ought to give God some praise tonight. Hey! Hallelujah! Glory! And so, as we look at the bottom of page 24, dialogue, attendances, and physicality, secularity measures the matrix. Now, as we look through this document, and of course, I've been going through this very slowly now. There are some 6 parts, and there are some 60 pages in part 1, and I'm not even worried about the rest. Amen. I am moved by the Spirit to go through this very slowly, so if I only get through 1 or 2 paragraphs this Sunday, I'm not worried. Amen. What's the use to go into page 6 if you don't understand page 5? Amen. And of course, amen, this is commentary that is written as a result of exegesis. Right. Now, what's in this particular section comes out of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Everybody open your Bible, turn to it. Now, you notice it says dialogue, that is communication, attendances. You know what an attendant is? What is an attendant? That's one that serves, a minister. You know, as we say, flight attendant, or we say, you know, attendant in certain operations, amen. So what we're talking about in the matrix, things that are put in there to, for ministry's sake. to minister communication to us. That's what these dialogue attendances are. Amen. They are not things within themselves. They are not entities themselves. Amen. They are reflectors. These are manifestations of the light for the purpose of communicating to us, listen to me, what God has already done. Amen. Now, in that 13th chapter of Hebrews, for the sake of time, because that clock always beat me up, the essence of it in focusing here, basically, in chapter 12, Paul here, he's writing, and yes, our position in this ministry is that Paul wrote Hebrews. Mm-hmm. I won't get into that, amen, but for those that want to fight, amen, we pick another day to deal with that with you. Paul wrote Hebrews is the position of this ministry. As he writes here to these believing Jews, those that had the history of the Old Testament, basically, as he moves to the close of verse 12 and chapter 12, and then chapter 13 is the last chapter. So here he's coming to the doxology of the conclusion of the epistle, and basically, he is saying to them, all that you've experienced and all of these things there was purpose to everything that has happened historically to you as a nation. And it is no basis for you looking at those things and dividing them into independent components. Everything moves together to basically, in one direction, convey one basic course. So your course, my course, all courses are laid out, and they are individualized. God's course and plan for you is different from, this is why we do different things. Amen. That's the only reason we do different things. Amen. For each life, God has an individualized course. So as he moved through the end of this chapter, though, he speaks of all of those things that they had gone through and the reason for them. And so in verse 1 of that 13th chapter, he says that let's continue in brotherly love, hospitality. And some of you in verse 2 have entertained messengers of this truth. He was speaking of the grace gospel, and you didn't know it. Amen. There were those that had come among them. They didn't know who they were. Amen. And so, also he speaks in verse 3, those in bonds, amen, recognize as according to God's purpose of you being a part of them, as well as those that suffer. Amen. All of this is together, and basically in verse 4, and of course you hear this quoted many times, that marriage is honorable. And what he's talking about is that interrelationship. Amen. And he speaks in terms of infidelity, in the sense that goes further than just what we think basically in our natural lives. Anything that you do, I do, amen, that is opposite of God, amen, fits into that category. In verse 4, though, Elder, why don't you read that? Everyone, that's 5, I'm sorry. Everyone that has Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, say amen. All right, read or read.
Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with the 5th verse. Mm-hmm. Let your conversation...
Stop, we'll straighten that out. Paul didn't talk that way. If you were to go into the Greek scripting, and you see, every time you see that word, let. Now, in the old jargon, that meant to either allow or hinder. But it doesn't fit anything that Paul would say, because that would put you in control. Let me just be plain. You are not in control of your lives. No. No one is in control of their life. Who controls your life?
God.
God. I know that's kind of hard, especially when we get a few dollars in our pocket and we think we started getting a little beside ourselves. We got a little money in the bank and of course in school we've been taught the Invictus poem, I'm the captain of my soul and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Little puny creature, and here on a little small dot of a planet in a small solar system in a comparatively small galaxy, amen, in a small universe, because it's in God and it doesn't even fill him up.
That's right.
That isn't it strange that nobody argues about what's happening out there in the cosmos? The stars running into each other and colliding and so forth. And nobody, we don't look at them and say, well, we have any control. In fact, we say, we don't have any control of that. Yet we get the earth, we're in charge. That's one of the traits of depravity. We're arrogant. In fact, you mix ignorance with arrogancy.
Oh, yeah.
And there you got something on your hand.
Yeah.
So Paul didn't say that. We'll straight that out when we get to the exegesis, and maybe even when we get to the Greek interlinear. But just for reading's sake, let's read that and we'll straighten that out.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5.
Uh-huh.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
How do you know it's that thing that you have? See, Paul, what do you have? Paul didn't say that. Let's go to the Greek. Somebody said, well, Pastor, why do you go through all of this? Because I cannot begin to try to stand here and explain to you anything before we get straight what we're saying.
What we're saying. That's right.
Wrong utterance. Wrong explication. So we're going to stop and do this, and if you've got problems with it, you just pray for us. All right, let's go to the Greek. Now, here at the Grace Gospel Church, for those that are watching on the webcast, that you're not familiar with the way we proceed in exegesis, amen, we have the Greek interlinear, and there we utilize it simply because he has the Greek words there, which, if you understand, there was no English language when, in the first century as we know it today.
Right.
Amen. The Bible, Old Testament, Hebrew, New Testament, Greek, and so these writings are the copies of the original writings, and we go through them, which is what the King James was supposed to have done, except they were... They were commissioned by the king.
That's right.
and it's a pretty good translation, amen. But we want to have the same advantage that they had.
Right.
All right. With that, let's move forward. Now, here he has the Greek word, then he puts the English word right under it. So that doesn't give him a chance to cheat, does it? Huh? All right. Read.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, interlinear Greek translation.
Mm-hmm.
Without love of money, the way of life.
Stop. Do you see let in there in the way?
No.
Without things. Because the money isn't the end, it's the thing that money
gives
access to.
Right. Right.
Those are the things.
Right.
So without these things, mm-hmm. is beyond things. Oh, y'all better hear me this morning. You remember a couple weeks ago with that Sandy? Yeah. What was that, a hurricane? Well, it was a big storm. And it wiped some folk out. Now, if your life is simply about things, then they have just wiped your life away. Some people walked in there, this is my whole life. And I said, no, it's not. Look at what Paul is saying. Without things, life, or the way of life, or the means of life, is beyond things. Read.
Without love of money, the way of life being satisfied
stop,
with the...
Stop. Up to many. That accent is on the second syllable. Up to many. Brother Deacon, what is that? So the way things are, being satisfied. What is Paul saying? Being satisfied with life beyond things. Oh, I know that's hard. Because the song that we hear every day, you know, I heard a song the other day, and I said, I'm seeking the harvest of plenty, or something like that. Get back what the devil stole from me. Who wants what the devil has put his vile hands on? Lord, if you give me something new. But the thing that the devil cannot touch is your eternal relationship in Christ, which was given to you before time. What's before times? Eternal. You know, we probably won't ever fill these seats in here, but I declare, if that's what's there, that's what we're going to preach. And Paul said to Timothy, don't preach anything else. My stuff, your stuff, we don't have no stuff. Naked you come in, what happens? You leave. Says somebody, you know, he died a millionaire. He didn't die a millionaire. He just died. No, you don't take anything with you. And anything that's not eternally abiding, you don't really have. Now you have your salvation because you didn't get that while you were in here. You brought that in, and that's why you take it out. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Another place Paul said, I have learned to be satisfied or enthused in whatever situation. I mean, stop. Let's think about that. What was Paul's record? Hated by all of his countrymen. One time he was shipwrecked. One time he was beat with 39 stripes, left stoned, another time left for dead. Here's a man who had his health until he met Jesus. Then he lost his health. Here's a man who had a pretty high position in society. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he lost that because of his association with Jesus. So because of his association with Jesus, he ended up being the sickest man and the brokest man you ever want to lay eyes on. Yet he says, I'm satisfied. Here's a man who spoke of fasting, and he wasn't speaking of it in the sense that we talk of fasting sometimes, which we're talking about volitionally or doing something, amen, as part of maybe a fast has been called, amen. Fasting means to go without food, and Paul went without food many times because he didn't have money to buy it. He said fasting often. Another time he said we hunger and thirst to this hour. I don't know whether they were selling water back in those days or not, but he said to this very hour. And then when he asked the Lord to deliver him, said three times, I asked the Lord to deliver me. And what was the answer? Paul, leave that thing alone. Said, my grace is sufficient. And by you being sick and beat up and hated, I'm going to receive the glory. I mean, Paul understood that. Mm-hmm. He said, I would much rather glory in all of these things. Mm-hmm. Because God's getting the credit. Hallelujah. Oh, it would be so nice for us to understand, as the scripture teaches us in the 14th chapter of Romans, that when we live, it is to him. Our purpose for living is not in ourselves. Our purpose for living is according to the one that we belong to. Our purpose for dying is, this is why we don't set the date. Oh, none of us. He said, well, yes, I can commit suicide. Not if God doesn't allow it. Without me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
So whether I live, the purpose of it is whatever his purpose is for me. And if I die, it is, our dying is for God's purpose. It's not for us. You don't die because of some purpose. No. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now, if that's not true, let's tear these pages right out of the Bible and then just get on out there and do what everybody else is doing. Get as much as you can, as long as you can. But I tell you, it's not going to be long. The essence is, our life, you remember as we were reading in the pastor's pen earlier, our life is in Christ. We live, as Paul spoke to those Athenians on Mars Hill. We live, we move what? We are. Now, I know the King James said we have our being. That's it. We are. In him. Everybody say in him. So what our lives is not about what we are doing. Oh, God, help us. That has been so impressed into our spirits. And that thing messes us up in life. Because we think our life is about us. And so we put earth as the center stage. You know what has caused that? And you know what has messed us up? Bad Bible exegesis. Exegesis means interpretation. Bad Bible interpretation. Now let's go hold that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18-9. Let's see what Jesus actually said. Because we are so self-centered,
right,
we think that where we are, it's the permanent position of where things are. Instead of seeing these many frames and the actions that have been put and motions that have been put into these frames, and the light passed to them are only reflectors of what God has placed in them, and basically where the position and locale of him and placed everything in them is in eternity in God, and what's in time is only a reflector of what God has done in eternity.
That's right. Amen.
Everybody got that? Amen. Brother Deacon, break out your, for the sake of time, while he's reading, break out your Greek lexicon there. So, Pastor, just follow along. Because they gave Jesus a bad rap of him saying something that he did say. Everybody got that in Matthew. Amen. 18, let's start with 18. Let's start with, well, and let's start where we get in trouble, and then let's go back and clear up what it should convey versus what they say that he is saying. Now, you've heard this many times. All right? Start with 19 and then go back.
Matthew
in the descendant order instead of the ascendant order. Everyone has Matthew, and for those that are following, you follow this and you check this out. And may the Spirit of God guide and lead you, as well as everyone who's in here. Because if you don't get this straight, you're going to be walking around melancholy and forlorn, because here you are thinking that something must be messed up concerning you because things are not going a certain way. I prayed fervently and the Lord didn't answer my prayer. Yes, he did. He said no. When did he say no? After I asked him, no. He said no before you prayed it.
Hallelujah. Come on, preach it. Come on. Woo, glory.
Our problem is we're using the earth as our basis.
Yeah.
Read that. From the King James.
Matthew chapter 18, beginning with the 19th verse. Again,
Stop. Anytime you see that word again, that means you are compelled to go to the verses above. Again means repeat, right? And now people come on the radio every day and in certain of these word faith ministries. And they quote this. I had a cousin whose husband was stricken with an illness. And they got in a circle and they agreed. And she felt covenant the Lord was going to raise him up. But he died. And she was started messed up, confused. Maybe we didn't say it right. Maybe we didn't pray right. Maybe we didn't... Knowledge releases you. Knowledge sets you beyond and above the things that are happening around you. Knowledge releases the pressure. Ignorance embargoes our feelings and causes us to live in trepidation and fear.
That's right.
So what did he say before we get to what he said, what we get to the part of what he said before that? Because what he said now, He's repeating what he has said. But if you don't understand what he has said, then you're not going to understand what he said here. Read.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
That is a terrible translation. It is saying that whatever you agree to on earth, then that's what would be done in heaven. So here we have things originating on earth and being reflected in heaven. That's not what Jesus said. And you all have to almost wonder if the translators knew better. Let's go back to the antecedent verse, the prior verse, to see what he's repeating. Read.
Matthew chapter 18.
Everybody got the 18th verse? Amen.
Amen.
Read.
18th verse. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven.
Terrible translation. That's not what Jesus said. What do they call it in politics? They put a spin on it. Let's go to the Greek. Verse 18. Now follow along those that are in here, and specifically those that are watching by the webcast. I declare if you stop and go through this, it's going to help you. It's going to release you. You'll have a better day tomorrow. I'm not saying things are going to go well with you as far as what you are going through tomorrow. But you're going to fare better because you know better. Read.
Matthew 18, verse 18 in the Interlinear Greek. Truly I say to you, whatever things ye bind on the earth.
But I see he followed them. Brother Deacon, look at the Greek word there for bind. That is an aorist subjunctive. How dare you? What is this subjunctive mood?
Probability.
What is the aorist tense?
Completed action.
Completed action. So whatever the probability of the action that is completed, where does it move to? Read. Which is on the earth.
You shall bound on the earth. Shall be having been bound in heaven.
Shall be having been bound in heaven.
Right.
What it shall be, might be, is predetermined according to what was born in heaven. Isn't heaven first, then earth? Not earth first and then heaven. Oh, they're going to come after us. But I declare, you're going to come through these scriptures and you're going to follow the construct of the construction, utilizing the grammar. That's strange that you don't even see that in the do you, huh? And he said the same thing about what is loose. Read.
And whatever things ye loose on the earth.
See, stop. What is that, Brother Deacon?
Same thing. Aorist subjunctive.
Subjunctive. Aorist. Subjunctive move probability. Whatever the probability of that thing is complete already. On earth. Based upon what? Shall be what?
Shall be having been loosed in heaven.
Having been loosed in heaven.
Right.
It's according to what God has previously placed in the frame that's in the heavenlies that your conscience is now moving through, and what's in that frame was previously placed in there. It's in the heavens first and then the earth.
Amen.
How dare we try to put God in the role of a responder based upon what we do? And a couple of people had nerve to tell my cousin that you didn't have enough faith. You know, they always put that on you. If you had enough faith, God would have raised him up. Now you walk around saying woulda, coulda, shoulda, and you know, if I had done this and the other. How many of us walk around every day living like that? Nothing is based upon you. It's amazing how we think that God created the world and then he just stepped back and said, well, let's see what you guys are going to do. No. If he is a creator, he is a designer. You create something, you create it to a certain specification that is designed to do something. We are creatures. We are his creation. We are the product of his work.
Amen.
Of which, amen, he performed in eternity. Not in time. But everything is in eternity and it is projected into time, into the matrix. So everything that's there was placed for purpose. Now let's go back to 19 in Greek and we understand. So now he said again, that means that he's going to repeat the same thing or some version of what he said in 18. Read that.
Verse 19,
mm-hmm.
Again, truly, I say to you that if two agree of you on the earth concerning everything.
Stop. What's that Greek word there, Brother Deacon?
Sentence aorist adjunctive
on the agreement. Mm-hmm. It's aorist adjunctive. Probability of what has been agreed upon. In the middle voice. That means the subject is acting upon itself. Doesn't mean that you're down here calling the shots. You don't call the shots. Oh, God help us to know we don't call the shots. So he's repeating that. It shall what?
It shall be to them
mm-hmm.
from the Father of me
mm-hmm.
in heavens.
So, it comes from the heavens. Now, why does God give us the Holy Spirit to intercede for us when we're praying? And of course, that they talk about us interceding for other folk. That's, Paul never said that. How are you going to intercede for someone else and you can't intercede for yourself? Now here you got the Holy Spirit interceding for you because you're inadequate, and then you're going to turn around and intercede for someone else. No, I don't want you interceding for me. Say, well, you pray with me if we pray the right prayer. I never forget that night I was here alone, and this is a long time ago. I try to go home now, but I used to hang around here all the time. It was late at night and the phone rang. And starting out the answer, I thought it was being Summers home. Picked up the phone and went and said, oh, brother, I'm so glad I got a live voice. Every church I've been calling, I've been getting answer service. So he began to tell me some things. And he said, will you pray with me? I said, well, absolutely, sure. Now, what he asked me, his words were pray with me. So when I prayed, amen, I prayed according to knowledge and understanding that God according to your will. I got through. He said, brother, you mind if I pray? I don't have too much confidence in that prayer that you just prayed. So here he called down fire from heaven. Oh man, Lord, I know you said you're going to do it. Amen. And if you said you're going to do it, we count it as done. Oh man. And then I got through. I said, well, God bless you, brother. And I hung up and I said, I hope he got what he was asking for, but if he got it, it was because it was already decreed in heaven. Now, God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us align with His will. And don't you ever close a prayer, and you do have the privilege to petition God for whatever you wish. Before you close that prayer, what do you say? Lord, your will is done. And no, you have not destroyed the prayer of faith by saying that. What you are doing is the Holy Spirit is using you to align with His will, because it flows from heaven to earth, not from earth to heaven. And God doesn't make daily decisions. Whatever He did in eternity, all of it. And everything that's in that frame, it was there from the beginning. It starts with salvation. We've been taught that on a certain day we give an altar call and somebody comes down here and we say, well, that person got saved today. No, you didn't. You came to the knowledge of your salvation. But, amen. When were you saved?
Eternity.
Ephesians 1 and 4, according to, but see, I didn't know it, but a whole lot of things happen that I don't know. And they don't come into play when I realize them. No. Give me about 6 minutes. Take that home, and for those that are watching, look through that, and if you have any problems, we do have a blog on our website. Write us. We'll discuss it all day long with you. Amen. Let's look to the bottom of that page, 24. Try to at least get through this one paragraph. Dialogue, attendances, and physicality, secularity measures, the matrix. Everybody got that, amen? Distributed morphs simulate non-entities promoted as agents of the matrix exchanges. What are we saying there? Changes in life that are distributed in these frames. They are non-entities within themselves. Even though they are promoted as agents of those that are controlling things and determining things in the frame, everything in the frame, just like the movie that has been made, no matter how many times you watch that movie, what? It comes out the same way, right? You ever watch the movie and it comes out the same way. And actually, you can sit there and your mind can rehearse that. And I remember with one of my grandchildren, I think it was Deshaun, it was some movie, kiddie movie, they had bought for him. And he was sitting there as a little boy. And he could be one of the actors because he had memorized the lines. He would repeat the lines before it because he had seen it before. Which means it was already there. So whatever's happening that we call is happening in life, it's already there. No, we don't know what it is. Look at this. Such maintain that their biased memories are erased from concentration or perceptions immediately reincorporated into their illusionary actions. What are we saying there? As you look at these things, it looks like basically they are operating on their own, and amen, and yet they're all just illusionary actions within themselves. Whatever is happening, your tomorrow, whatever happens. If you turn a certain corner and a car comes through in a section and plows into your car, could you have done anything about that? I don't mean that instance. Could you have turned the other way? No. Whatever is set in that frame, God set it in there for purpose. And it's been there from eternity. Oh, they're not going to like us. Well, what are you going to do with the aorist tense? And the fact that the scripture said that all things are complete. If everything is complete, it's already there. Your tomorrow, next week, next day. And see, but you might understand I'm going to have to bail out. I'm not going to be able to finish today, that paragraph. But as we go through life, and then we just come out of an election, and then people say, oh, well, we're getting ready to go off a fiscal cliff. And there are people that have money on the stock market, and the rich people are more worried about it than we are. I guess they can. We don't have to be worried about it. I'm already off the cliff. But no, no. Whatever's in that frame is put there for purpose. Now, do you trust the one that put it there? Do you trust his love for you from eternity? Now, we have a book that's on the market now. Ministry's book, the name of it is Don't Be Afraid of God's Will. And in that book, basically, it goes on the basis of you having confidence in who you are. Mm-hmm. Your eternal relationship with God. And knowing that if you belong to him, God is your Father, God is your Creator. Mm-hmm. Christ is the head of the body that you have been placed in. Mm-hmm. That your welfare is secure. No matter what happens. In life. Let's go to the if extreme. If an asteroid hit the earth and blew it apart, and we were no longer in physicality, where are we? Where we always were. In Christ. In spirituality. You leave these bodies, that's not the end of you. You are more who you are, and I'm going to bail out. You are more who you are in Christ than you are in these bodies. You were in Christ first. Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he chose us, what? In him when? Before creation. I was in Christ before I was ever encapsulated in this vile body. I'm in Christ forever. I'm in this body for whatever length of time. I mean, I'm approaching 70 in another year and so. 3 score and 10. But that's not me. That's not my venue. That's not my tenure. So, well, what is your tenure? 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years? No, forever. Said, Pastor, people going to think you crazy if you don't say, what's the opposite of that? You're born, grow up, you go to school, you get married. You get a job first. You didn't get married. Then you have children. You look around, you be like me in a few years, you got grandchildren. And then I've got grown grandchildren. So what's next? If the Lord keep me around a little while longer, great grands. But you know what? Sooner or later, what?
Check out.
It's checkout time. That's not really me. Well, who am I? I am the one that he placed in the body of Christ in eternity. That he is the head of that body. Oh, it would be so grand if God's people would learn to appreciate him now and not have to close my eyes, wake up in the arms of Jesus to fully appreciate who he is and what he has done. Because whatsoever happens as I travel through these frames is temporary. It's for testimony. One thing I do agree with the King James, they got this saying, and it came to pass. Everything that happens comes to pass. Doesn't come to stay. Whatever you're going through tomorrow, the next day is gone. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. So, Pastor, you're saying we should be caring about life? No. The scripture teaches is that we should prioritize the spiritual over the physical. The eternal over the temporary. The essence of who I am in Christ over who I am in these bodies. This is what we should know and understand. And then we participate in the politics in this way. And I said to everybody, and I hope that you went to the polls and voted that day, but you know what? If the other fellow had won, It would be because that's what God has put in that frame. We don't say, we choose the president. No, we don't.
No.
Say, oh, pastor, you are crazy. No, we don't. We don't. So well, then why did I go vote? Because it was decreed and the choice was made that you would go to vote, and you didn't make that choice. Pastor, you are crazy. No. What God has decreed and said is what it is. We have an aphorism around here. Repeat after me. It's in the same.
It's in the same.
Not the same.
Not the same.
By the time you see it, it has already been said. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And when did he say it? In eternity. And if you live like that, then it's going to release you. Mm-hmm. I like what Elder Liberman says sometimes. Mm-hmm. He said, this gospel is a liberating gospel.
Liberating.
It releases you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read the news like everybody else. I get most of mine from the internet, and then I watch it. But my life is not on a roller coaster ride as to who gets in office and what they do. And sometimes God shows us some things, and then we still don't get the lesson. Remember how they were going to kill Obamacare? So we got the votes to kill it. And the main man changed his vote. He was caused to change his vote. Yeah, you saw how troubled he was trying to explain his vote. It's like, I'm trying to explain something and I don't know why I did it. I know why you did it. The same reason the other fellas did what they did. They were caused to, and every one of us, we do the things according to what God has pre-purposed. You mean that big man, that boneheaded move and mistake and the awful thing I did, it's all working within God's purpose.
Lord.
If I do something dumb, it's because God didn't block my depravity. Otherwise, depravity does dumb things all the time.
Lord.
You know, folks had it right. They said, when you see me walking right, what?
God's
using me. When you see me talking right, what?
God's
using me. All of this, it's for the purpose of us relaxing. Relax. We're going to go through some things in this country. You're going to see a lot of changes and so forth there. Don't take that roller coaster ride with the rest of the world. Regardless of what that thing is, our trust is in a living God. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him? Give him a praise.